Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. It is our prayer here at the Seed that you come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you had a blessed Christmas and preparing your heart for the coming new year. We have three scripture readings for today. Two of them come from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and one comes from the Gospel of Luke. And I mentioned a week ago that we are giving away one-year Bibles. If you would like a one-year Bible, you can email me, Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll get you a one-year Bible to start your year out. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin to read God's word. Lord God Almighty, as we close out this year, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and touch us and fill us. We pray for this new year that you would just shower your blessings on each and every one of us. May your word be alive and redemptive. May your word shape us and mold us and fashion us in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 42. 5 through 9. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant of the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And then turn to chapter 63 in Isaiah 7 through 9. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, 21 through 40. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the word of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and the sacrifice offering was to be offered according to as stated at the law of the Lord, a pair of two turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce their own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, been as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. And at that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. As we look to this new year, let us think about seeing the Messiah, looking for the Messiah, and waiting on the Messiah. Dr. Luke took great pains to describe Simeon. He was an ideal Jew. He embodied everything God intended for his people. He was righteous and devout. He operated with integrity towards God and others. He had also been waiting for the consolation of Israel, which is another way of saying he was waiting for the Messiah. The Messiah would bring consolation, comfort, solace, relief, and support to people who were anxious and oppressed. The Holy Spirit, also called the Comforter, was upon Simeon and had revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before his death. Wow, that's a wonderful promise. I believe Simeon can teach us about waiting. I wonder who's listening today. I can't see your faces. I wonder who's waiting. Maybe this message is for you if you're waiting. Simeon had been waiting for something very important for a very, very long, long time. Although Simeon was very old, he hung in there for one reason. He believed God. He believed he would not die before he saw the Savior, the Messiah of Israel. This was a dark time in Israel. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, there had been no revelation from God in over 400 years. Not exactly the context for optimism. Although Simeon's body was failing, his spirit grew stronger. The hope that was inside Simeon was greater than the hopelessness around him. Well, let me say that again, because I think there's someone here that needs hope. The hope that was inside Simeon was greater than the hopelessness around him. My prayer for those that are feeling hopeless, find the hope that was in you, which is Jesus Christ. Day after day, month after month, year after year, Simeon waited. He watched and waited. He was a devout Jew. He knew the prophecies, what to look for. Think about it for a moment. He went to the temple daily to see the couples bring their sons to be dedicated. Simeon waited, watched, and prayed. Is this one for you? Is this the Lord? Maybe, you know, as people walk through, he would say to himself, "Is this one the one? Is this the one the one? Is this the Lord? Is this the child, the Messiah?" Simeon knew the prophecies. He was waiting for the Lord. Simeon was waiting for, well, what I would call Christmas Day every day for years. We get to celebrate Christmas Day because we know that the Messiah has come. But Simeon was waiting for Christmas Day every day for years. He waited with the same anticipation that you and I have for Christmas Day. God had promised and Simeon had waited. God had promised and Simeon had waited. Maybe God has promised you something. I hope that you hear God's word speaking to you of his great love. But God promised Simeon a promise and he waited. He waited on the Lord. Well, let's take a break and sit with Simeon for just a little bit. Watching and waiting, looking and hoping, waiting and praying. Does any of that sound familiar to you? Anna, let's talk about Anna for a moment. Anna is old. She's around 84. Yet she had never ceased to have hope for the redemption. The Greek word for redemption is exchange or salvation, deliverance, rescue, liberation, release, emancipation, or recovery. She was waiting. Anna was waiting and looking for the Messiah, the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna was a widow, and she had known sorrow, yet she had not grown bitter. Sorrow will do one of two things to us. It will make us hard, bitter, resentful, and rebellious against God and others, or it will make us kinder, softer, and more sympathetic towards God and others. Well, maybe I'm going to ask you, where are you at on the sorrow vector scale? Sorrow really does two things for us. It can make us bitter, hard, resentful, or rebellious against God and others, or it can make us kinder, softer, and more sympathetic towards God and others. Anna, like Simeon, was waiting she was looking for her coming redemption. Anna had been widowed early in her married life. She did not allow her sorrow to fester and produce bitterness. Instead, she waited in the temple. She spent her time in prayer and fasting as she waited, watched, and looked for the Messiah. So what? Let's think about this for a moment. What have we done with the sorrow in our lives? Friends, sorrow can turn us sour and bitter, or sorrow can make you more tender and turn you into a better person. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. If you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, click on the icon for prayer. Our prayer team has seen some wonderful miracles of God's grace. We want you to know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have a question about the Bible or just need prayer, you can always email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, and I'll try and respond as quickly as possible. We've been talking about Simeon and Anna, how they waited and how they looked or watched for the Messiah. Maybe a good so what question. How are you doing in your waiting? How are you doing in your looking for the Messiah? My so what question in the first part of the message was, what do you do with sorrow or grief or loss in your lives? Friends, sorrow can turn us sour or bitter. Maybe that's a better word. Sorrow can turn us bitter, or it can make us better persons, becoming more tender as we turn our eyes to Christ. Simeon and Anna saw the coming of Christ as good news because they were looking, longing, and waiting for God to break into history once again and bring consolation and redemption. They were waiting for God to bring them comfort, relief, and support. They were waiting for God to redeem them, to bring deliverance, rescue, liberation, release, emancipation, and recovery. In their times of bitterness, they refused to focus on their afflictions. Instead, they looked toward hope, the hope and the power of the cross. And they were waiting for the Messiah. Let me say this again. In their times of bitterness, they refused to focus on their afflictions. Instead, they looked forward with hope. How are you looking today? No, not how do you look, but how are you looking and what are you looking for? Remember, there was 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew with the beginning of the New Testament. Malachi is the last chapter, last book of the Old Testament, and then there's Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and there's 400 years of silence. The people had been waiting and looking for a long time. Remember the prophecy that we read in Isaiah? It says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. Open the eyes that are blind to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisons, those who sit in darkness. This prophecy was fulfilled in the Christ child. In Jesus Christ, God has consoled his people. That's what Simeon was looking for. And the Lord has redeemed Jerusalem. That's what Anna was looking for. Consolation brings comfort and relief to our deepest longings for healing and restoration. Jesus Christ is the one who brings God's consolation to our losses. Redemption rescues us from powers that hold us in bondage, the power of sin, the power of death, the power of Satan. Consolation and redemption, that's what they were looking for, Simeon and Anna. I encourage you to go read those stories again. Put yourself in the story and put the story in you. On Christmas Eve, not too many days ago, we heard the songs of angels. Glory to God, peace on earth. The shepherds found the baby just as they had been told, lying in a manger wrapped in bands of cloth, out in the middle of nowhere. Now it's time for Joseph and Mary to travel to Jerusalem to present baby Jesus for circumcision and dedication. For years, Simeon had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. He knew the Messiah was coming. He believed God's word. He knew he wasn't going anywhere until he saw the child. Every day he rose with anticipation. Was this the day? I don't know, maybe a good so what question. How do you wake up in the morning? Maybe a good way to wake up in the morning is say, good morning, Lord. Show me your presence. Show me your power. Show me your peace. Show me your promises, God. God had promised, Simeon believed. Let me say that again. God had promised, Simeon believed. Well, how are you doing with your belief? Simeon waited. Simeon trusted. Simeon waited, and Simeon trusted. How are you doing with your trust in God? God showed up. God was working while Simeon was waiting. Listen, God is working while you're waiting. Trust him. Believe the promises. Simeon took the Christ child in his arms, and his song of trust rose from deep within him. Listen again to his words. He said, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon had been waiting, watching, and praying for God to speak into history once again. When God finally interrupted Simeon's life, Simeon sang a song of trust. So what? Let's kind of wrap this up as we think about all that God is calling us to do. Maybe there's people here that have been waiting a long time. I pray for you. I pray that God will reveal his promises to you. I pray that God will reveal his person to you. On November 18th, 1995, the Israeli violinist Yitzhak Perlman came out on stage at New York's Lincoln Center. If you've ever seen Perlman in action, then you know that just getting on stage is no small matter for him. Stricken with polio as a child, Perlman wears braces on both legs and walks with two crutches. To see him come across the stage is a sight you don't forget. He moves painfully but with dignity until he gets to his chair. He sits down slowly, lays his crutches aside, undoes the clasp of his braces, tucks one foot back and stretches the other forward. Then he reaches down, puts up his violin, notches it under his chin, nods to the maestro, and begins to play. On this particular occasion, however, something went wrong. Just as he finished the first stanza, a string on Perlman's violin broke. You could hear it snap going off like gunfire across the room. There was no mistaking what that sound meant or what Perlman had to do. People who were there that night later said, "We figured that he would have to get up and put the clasp again back on his crutches and limp his way across stage, or wait for someone to bring him another string or violin." But Perlman didn't. Instead, he paused for a moment, closed his eyes, and then signaled to the conductor to begin again. The orchestra recommenced, and he joined them where he left off. He played with passion, power, and purity like the audience had never heard before. And of course, all of them knew that it was impossible to play a symphonic work with just three strings. But that night, that player refused to know that. You could see him modulating, changing, recomposing the piece in his head. Someone said at one point it sounded like he was detuning the strings to get new sounds from them they had never made before. When Perlman finished, there was an awesome silence in the room, and then suddenly the audience exploded. Wow. They were all screaming and cheering, doing everything they could to show how much they appreciated what he had done. Perlman smiled, wiped the sweat from his brow, raised his bow to quiet the crowd, and then said, not boastfully, but in a quiet, pensive, reverent tone, this is what he said. "You know, sometimes it is the artist's task to find out how much music you can still make with what you have left." I've read that comment and that quote so many times. "You know, sometimes it is the artist's task to find out how much music you can still make with what you have left." I don't know what you have left. I don't know what God is doing in your life. It's a hard being a pastor on the radio because I can't see you. But I want you to know that God sees you. Emmanuel, God is with you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. I pray that you'll wait and that you'll watch and believe and trust in the promises of God. This is the so what question for today. You know, how do we take these ancient words and put them into practice? Here's my thought. While we are waiting for whatever it is our hearts are longing for, what kind of music will we make with what we have left? While we are waiting for whatever it is our hearts are longing for, what kind of music will we make with what we have left? Let us pray. Lord God, you are the light for the Gentiles and the glory for the people of Israel. We ask today that you would be our light and our glory. Bring light to the darkness that we sit in. Bring light to the suffering we face. Bring light to the impoverished places of our soul. May we live in the heart of God this new year. May our eyes be wide open to see your glory. Let us go and tell of your good news to the mountains and the valleys and to the entire world. Jesus the Messiah has been born, and he has changed our lives. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. God bless. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.